Hello, Dreamers. It's Janine.
And Stephanie.
Welcome again to the Course of Course podcast. This is number 11.
Yeehaw, double ones.
Double ones. It's also a couple of days before Christmas. This is very exciting. Christmas 2014.
Yay! Bring in the light.
I know. I'm so excited about these podcasts. We've done, this will be 11. We're looking forward to probably another 50 or 60, I guess.
We'll try for a year and see what happens.
Well, we have a huge fan base now, so we need to keep moving forward. So I'm going to throw this over to you, Stephanie. Tell me how your week went.
Well, one thing I've been working on is, I call it reaching for the light. And it started with the Forgotten Song and the Circle of Light. And noticing all the distractions that happen around me when I am trying to reach for this light. Whether it's an airplane every 3 minutes going through my universe, or the dogs barking, or a car going by, or someone's radio, or someone singing, or, you know, like babies crying, people arguing. There is constant distractions.
Oh, the crazy planet. Super fun.
And just how the ego uses all kinds of things to distract us constantly. And I'm trying to practice peace of mind and reach for the light.
So what are some of the things you do? We have talked about you do the course lesson every morning. Mm-hmm. During the day, what do you do?
Well, the last group of lessons I've been on hasn't been anything like what it has been to that point, mm-hmm. in that it was every hour, sometimes every half hour.
It's much less
now. There's time consuming. There's like no set anything. There's nothing. They don't even say in the morning or in the evening you should ponder this. There's nothing. So I have been feeling a little bit more free-formed. Mm-hmm. I do still have the reminder on the phone if I choose to do it. I haven't been doing it. But during the day, you know, I read it again at work, and I write up the lesson on a post-it because I like my post-its, and I'll read it on my lunch break.
So during the day when you have these distractions, mm-hmm. what do you do to pull yourself out of those?
Just think of HSJ and just giving the illusion over.
I really liked, a couple of weeks ago, we went to the Gary and Cindy Renard workshop down in San Diego. And one of the things they were talking about is, you know, just welcome Holy Spirit Jesus into your day first thing in the morning. Hey, you're with me, right? Kind of like your constant companion during the day. I know for me, when I do catch myself, and believe me, my ego is crazy. Mm-hmm. When I do catch it, I remember that. Just welcome in Holy Spirit Jesus.
That's good.
It's a slow process for me. I think you're faster at the uptake than I am. When I'm at work, it's usually when it's the most distracting. And also when I really lean on the course a lot to pull me out of a funk, mm-hmm. so to speak, because it does happen. I think I'm getting better at it. It's kind of back to that whole, you just have to be vigilant and keep practicing it over and over again. And I'm starting to become a little more grateful for this crazy work environment I'm in, because it does provide me with these lessons presented to me yet again, over and over. Gives me that opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to do it this time. We were mm-hmm. talking off mic about how I came to a realization this week that I've been in these work situations a number of times, very similar. And it's now my time mm-hmm. to get it done.
To conquer it. To face your demons.
And we were talking about, you know, when we have a work environment situation, how we have to always wonder, what is it that we're dealing with that's us, the mirror back to us? Mm-hmm. And just saying, oh, I don't like this person because they're so mean. Well, what is it about me that I'm seeing in them? And I got to tell you, that's not a pleasant conversation to have with yourself, but it's a necessary one.
Yeah, you have to look within and look at what's being reflected back, because that's how we are.
It's that one's kind of an ego crush, actually. It's like, wait a minute, I'm that way? I've behaved that way? Mm-hmm. It's funny how we have these perceptions in our mind, like, well, I'm a good person and I'm this and that. But yet, I'll be in situations where something happens, like, well, that wasn't very nice. And it wasn't me doing it to someone else, but I'm perceiving that they're doing it to me.
Okay. So there's a reaction, which mm-hmm. is, I don't like that person.
Right. But it's really, that person is me. So right. Once you can start getting to that point mm-hmm. of saying, oh, now I'm starting to understand. I'm not there yet. I haven't completely owned it, mm-hmm. but I'm getting it more mm-hmm. intellectually. And now the approach is, what is it that's bothering me from that person, and how do I fix it within myself?
Okay, so one of my lessons that I had put up as a post-it when I was doing my slow burn was, I am determined to change my present state for a better one, and one I really want.
Was that your affirmation? Was that from the course?
It's from the course.
Mm. You know, also I was impressed with Cindy and Gary, is they know that course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got it cold. So you can ask them a question and they'll be like, oh yeah, it's in this, or it's in this chapter, or whatever. I really appreciated that. Anybody who has a copy, a hard copy of that big blue book, that's a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we start hearing people studying the course for 20, 30 years. There's so much in it.
There is. But I also see how it's starting to repeat a little bit. Today I was doing a search, or yesterday I was doing a search for the word song, because the title of that one prayer, The Forgotten Song, and in the Billy, the afterlife of Billy
Fingers,
in the afterlife of Billy Fingers, in the description at the end, he kept talking about the music and the song and everything. And so I'm really fascinated by this song theme, because I personally love music so much and can be moved. My mood can alter with music. And so I use that as a healing thing for me, whether it's just dancing around to The Clash in the bungalow to, you know, something very soothing at home. But there was one, there was a couple of quotes I got, and one of them was on the last page of the whole text, which I just randomly got, which is, as each one elects to join with me, the song of thanks from earth to heaven grows from tiny scattered threads of melody to one inclusive choir, a world redeemed from hell and giving thanks to you.
Wow. It is interesting once we start reading other things and hearing from other authors, because that's pretty much the Billy Fingers kind of ending, where it talks about the music of the heavens. So music has always been there. It always has been a part of us. I think for you, it's been a huge part of your life. Music can truly transcend. And it's nice to hear that basically that's what the universe's song is.
There's one more here I have to share about looking back on song themes. He hears the sounds the senseless busy world engenders, yet he hears them faintly, for beyond them he hears the song of heaven and the voice of God, more clear, more meaningful, more near. So when I was imagining trying to disengage from those distractions and forgiving each distraction so that I could reach for the light and hear the song, it's kind of what this is saying, is letting go of the busy world and hearing the song of heaven.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. I think one of the reasons why I love classical music, but live, is because you can feel the vibration going through you. My nephew is a harpist. And he's playing at a mass, I think, on Christmas Eve night. So I may try to go there.
That would be beautiful.
Well, I've always, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, so I've been around liturgical music and I've always loved it. Hearing choirs and that kind of stuff. Really amazing. And it's all about praising God and things like that, which, you know, how can you go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the church choir when I was a kid, so I still associate that with some sort of transcendent experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm not really attached to the Catholic Church anymore, I still love liturgical music.
Yeah, it's like it's a conduit. It is another pathway to God. So
right.
Even though it's in a religious, organized experience, you can still take the golden thread of the melody. And
right. And what was the composer at the end of the Billy Fingers book? It was, I can't remember. I want to say Gustav Mahler, but I don't know if that's true. But music is something that I reach for when I'm depressed, I think. I like hearing it to pull us out of, you know, negative moods, or to put us in really transcendent moods. I think it's one of the reasons why it's so lovely to be on a long drive and listening to music you like. It feels meditative to me. Even if the music that you like is the Beach Boys or whatever, you know, whatever you're entrained to at that moment.
Yeah, the big band era I resonate with, and I'm pretty sure I have a parallel life happening in that time zone, because the music hits me in so many deep levels.
I was thinking, because the Course talks about, you know, the Holy Spirit has determined when we will wake up, that basically we are watching our lives play out from a projector. So they're already done, right? So this is just this dream that we're having that eventually we'll wake up from. It must be possible if we are dreaming a bunch of different experiences. So you may be dreaming at the same time your experience in the 1940s or whenever your big band timeline was. So if that's the case, I would think that we could somehow be able to view the movie from that lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, there is the veil. I feel like I resonate at different times in my life with different parallel lives, mm-hmm. whether it's Russian, whether it's Native Indian, whether it's East Coast accent, British accents come out of me. I mean, like the weirdest voices come out of me sometimes. And I just figure some kind of past life bleed through is what I would normally say.
But that's why I'm saying that it must be possible if we really focus. And it's one of the reasons why I think psychics can do this because it's all playing, you know, at the cinema. So it's just a matter of, I was thinking the other day, I wasn't feeling very well. And every once in a while, I don't know if you get this, I may have a feeling of dread or joy and for no reason. Mm. I wonder if it's because it's a bleed through. My other parallel lives, something's happening, right? And I'm able to view the movie just like I'm viewing mine and seeing, something's going to happen. Or, oh my gosh, I just won the lottery. You know what I mean? Like, I just wonder how much of that comes through.
Well, if you're sensing it, then I would say it's something you're sensing. Like she said, trust your feelings. But I would still, I feel like it's still a distraction of the ego.
Yeah.
You know, like if we can just keep giving those illusions up.
Oh, I know what to talk about. The ego itself and how we have talked about this, I think, in earlier podcasts. We try to have people listen to our podcast or we talk about Gary Renard. They get stopped for some reason. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was just having that experience last week when I was trying to have someone listen to the podcast and they were definitely not open to it. And why that is, like, what is it that the ego doesn't want them to hear? They're not ready for it. And we've had experiences with people close to us that we can buy them every book in the library and they still won't pick it up. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to we only take it in when we're ready. Mm-hmm. And how strong the ego is in pushing it away.
I also think of how I'll unfold and understand and be able to, you know, teach. I mean, it talks about it all the time in the instruction about sharing and teaching, and that's how we own it and understand it.
But I thought it also said that really good teachers teach by example.
Yeah.
It's who they are. It's not necessarily a more conventional sensing of a teacher.
Sure. Mm. But I think it's such a new way of thinking that if there could be more people out there that can help turn people's light switch on, and if it can happen in like that all paths lead to God, like Gary's path was the path that turned on the light for us, maybe we can do that with others. Not that every single person needs to do this, but just talking to the husband and the cousins and the aunts and the uncles, like not everyone's a superstar or known for it, but you know, like if anyone can get this material and can somehow relieve people of the suffering and the just the wrongness of that mind so that they can turn on to the right mind.
You know, I gotta be like candid about this. I feel in some ways the more and deeper I get into the course, the more I feel a little isolated. I don't always feel like I can have a conversation with those around me and it be safe, right? I do not in any way feel embarrassed by my scholarship in the course, but I also don't feel like it would be immediately accepted either.
Yeah, I mean, you're at work most of the day. We both are. So I think our population of work people are slightly different.
Well, listening to some of our older podcasts, I remember hearing us say things like, you know, Holy Spirit, Jesus is in our life and this is it and it's changed our lives, which is great and true. But in the past, when I would hear somebody say, the Book of Mormon, you have to read this. This has changed my life. There's no difference because to them it changed their life, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember having a negative reaction when somebody would say that to me. So
yeah, I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses that used to come on the bikes and knock on the door. I definitely should. I used to shut down everybody, though. It didn't matter who you were.
But what makes this, in different. This situation, different than them saying the same?
I just feel like there might be people such as ourselves who are seeking answers, who have this inquisitive nature, who want to know something else, who are questioning life.
The thing that really did it for me and what sold me on this was when I read, God doesn't know that we're here. It's like, oh my, of course, that makes total sense because one of the things I think atheists may use as argument, you know, if God really loves us and and, you know, he's our savior and all that kind of stuff, then why bad things happen? Mm-hmm. You know, why are people born with these things? Why are these horrible tragedies occurring? Mm-hmm. The reality is they don't really exist, and God doesn't know they're down here because God only sees us with him. Mm-hmm. This is our craziness. Mm-hmm. That's when the light bulb went off for me.
Yeah, that tiny mad idea.
Now I get it. That intellectually put everything together for me. But it doesn't mean that I still feel comfortable talking openly to people about this. Mm-hmm. Because I remember what it was like for me when somebody said, you know, hey, read the Bible. This is the best thing ever. It's changed my life. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Well, it's not like we have to go knock on doors or anything. I mean, we just be great with people. Like you said, as an example, we be happiness. We be joy. We be mm-hmm. positivity. We be love. Mm-hmm. And I think that just kind of oozes out and people are altered just from being around us.
Well, it's a bit
they
of a
feel
learning,
better.
Yeah. You know? It's a learning experience for me because we actually have podcasts on iTunes. Mm-hmm. We have podcasts on iTunes that people can download. If it were a comedy podcast or something else, I would be shouting this from the rooftops. Hey, you guys, download my podcast. On this one.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
Right. Like, you don't want to tell everyone at work because they'll think you're crazy.
I am crazy, but for other reasons.
Like we said, it's a whole new way of thinking. Point of view is completely, you know, it's not absurd, but it's just extremely different than what we've ever known. And all I got to say is thank God, because like you said, it's the first time it's made sense. But it's still unfolding in these pieces. Like, I feel like I really need to reach for the light. And that's where my practice is right now, is riding above the battleground, going within, being as quiet as I can be, which is something I haven't done before. And, you know, seeking God, willing the light and being open to receiving guidance.
When I'm going through some tough times at work, I've been better at saying, this is just a dream. Don't get attached. It's just a dream. That guy doesn't mean any harm. I created him as a role in my play. Mm-hmm. This is my movie that I'm playing out. I'll just change the role. I don't necessarily like what he's saying to me right now, but I'm the one that wrote the script. So who are you getting mad at now?
Yeah, just getting mad at ourselves.
Which isn't always
fun. Which
we
do all the time.
Yeah.
We always beat ourselves up.
Right, but I think we were beating ourselves up in some other egotistical way. Now for me, it's like sort of beating myself up because I continue to forget this is a dream.
I think I do too, you know. I mean, it's just, I think more in the terms of I'm turning this illusion over and less about, oh, this is a dream. Like, yeah, it's a dream, but I don't want to be a part of this dream. Mm-hmm. I want to keep remembering that I'm spirit.
I like having done the course for, it's only been over a little over a year now, recognizing other people around me that might not be course students, but somehow get it, because you don't need to be a course student to transcend and wake up. It's just a framework in which we can use to slowly wake up. But there are people in my life, there's a few people in my life that I'm so honored to be around them because they're just kind and loving people, amongst others that are still, let's just face it, they're still sleepwalking, right?
Babies.
Right. And just remembering that these lovely souls that I'm around are the exact same as the other ones. Mm-hmm. Who are difficult. So it's that slow realization. For me, I feel like I have to get it intellectually, and I'm still working on the intellectual piece of it. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully I can slide right into mm-hmm. understanding it from a deeper kind of soul perspective.
It's like I'm that one mind, and I'm projecting in all these various roles, and we're like rubbing up against each other, mm-hmm. and we don't like it. But it's just keeping mm-hmm. that whole lie, you know, with our attention over there versus going, you know what? I'm not going to look at any of that. I'm going to turn the projector around and look at the light.
But I wonder if we just in general create difficult situations in our daily life because we know at like a meta level that it's important for us to wake up and figure out this lesson. So we just keep creating them until we do. And I feel like I've been in that cycle, that spin cycle. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to stop the spin.
I know that the words are just symbols and they don't always mean anything, but even just an affirmation I have is about learning my lessons in a loving way is right. really big. Like, I don't need to have drama. I don't need to get in a car accident. Mm-hmm. I don't need to get cancer. Like, I want to learn my lessons in the most loving way.
Mm-hmm. And Gary and Cindy talked, I think it was Gary a couple weeks ago in the workshop, about Bill Thetford, who had said, you know, I have forgiven everyone. I feel like my life is now clean. And I've awakened, and the next day I had a heart attack and died. I was like, that's how, like you had said this before, wouldn't it be great if we just pop? You know, it's like, okay, we're good, bye. So I've been thinking about that a lot too, because as we get a little older chronologically in this dream life, there are people that we know that are passing away, you know, family members, that kind of thing. What is it like for us? And I don't want to be in some fear of some, like you had said, some car accident happening or whatever. But I love the idea of getting to the point where, like, we're ready to go and boom, we're gone, like a poof. I have never really been that attached to things like funerals and, you know, tombstones. And all that. It just seems ridiculous to me to put all that effort into something when I, ironically, this is a dream anyway. I mean, why are you going to spend all that money and all that time on a funeral when we're just dreaming this?
And mourning. I always told my grandmother, we're going to have a grandma's moving on party. We're going to celebrate you.
Yeah, and I think one of the joys of learning the things that we've learned about the afterlife, so to speak, it just seems ridiculous to be sad about it. I mean, that's our goal.
It's just the ego again. I mean, the ego runs everything around here.
Well, I also think it's interesting, Gary talked about this, how when we let our mind wander, it goes to the negative. And I think when people pass away, we automatically have this negative reaction like, oh, I'm going to miss them. And this is so terrible. And what a tragedy. You hear these words a lot. There's no tragedy here.
Yeah.
They're just waking up.
I mean, I can see where if someone exits suddenly or in a horrific way, that can be a little shocking.
Yeah, quote unquote horrific.
Yeah, but the idea of someone letting go and like it's over, to me, it's a celebration.
Well, we hear a lot of these remembrances, I guess, for 9/11, and there are a lot of quote unquote tragic stories. But the reality is they're just passing. We all pass on. So it's kind of like this weird thing where we act like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that happened. Mm. Well, everything happens.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of tragic things happening all the time. I mean, what's been going on with the Taliban and the ISIS killing all the students at the schools this last week? It's happened 3 times. And I just have to forgive it. You know, just see that the ego is manifesting all over the place.
Well, it's kind of remembering that even an ISIS person is still God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a reflection.
Like they're trying to kill off the future or something so kids can't grow up and have a different thought. Well, guess what? This thought form that we're learning will win over in the long run. Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I don't know why this came to me, but I was driving home today and I was thinking about Virginia and Monticello and Thomas Jefferson. We both know I'm a huge history buff.
We've lived there before.
The Jefferson podcast, which is a huge favorite of mine. And I remember years ago, there was a gentleman who showed up at Monticello and knew everything about it. Like he was a reincarnation or whatever of Thomas Jefferson. He would take the, I don't know what you would call them, the docents or the people, the staff people at Monticello, and he would tell them where the secret passages were and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, how do you know that?
That's super cool.
Super cool, right? And I thought, because I was driving in LA, and I thought how interesting LA must have been years ago when it wasn't as crowded and wasn't so many buildings and stuff like that. I wonder how bizarre it would be if in 2014 you come to the realization that you were Marilyn Monroe living in Los Angeles, and how awesome that lifetime must have been for a while. Just so fun, and you know, being on top of the world and all that kind of stuff. Even if they're famous, what it's like to be a parallel life, you know, 1 minute you're Marilyn Monroe and the next minute you're a migrant worker in Mexico or something. I don't know.
Sure.
It's like this amazing variety that we've been permitted, I guess, from a God perspective to enjoy. You know, we write our own scripts. We do what we need to do.
I feel like from that point of oneness that we are all these experiences. Yes. I mean, we are a piece of it. That's why we can be emotionally moved by so many different things going on out there.
That's a really good point. You're right. Even if some of that is ISIS.
Sure.
I mean, there's these dreams of negativity, I guess, out there that we may have been attached or attracted to at some point. I mean, I've had some pretty dark periods. I think it's interesting teenagers go through that a lot.
Hmm.
And I wonder what that's about. You see a lot of these stories of, you know, just young kids who are a little lost. And
well, even in Native Indian culture, there was this, you know, becoming a man and going out and doing the hunt and doing the dream circle with the tea or whatever. And
right.
Like, there's always seems to be some kind of passage from childhood to adulthood.
But there does seem to be kind of a darkness, I think. You probably didn't experience this, but, you know, some teenagers go through kind of deep depression. A lot of it is they don't have a lot of power because they can't really drive and they don't have any money unless they work. You know what I mean? And they're stuck at home. They're sort of young adults, but not really adults. And it's that weird transition period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see people, these stories of, you know, suicide because they had money problems or whatever. You know, like, I just can't do it anymore. I can't do the stream anymore. I'm going to go back.
There's so many different things going on now, I think, between the food quality and the sugar and all the medicines they give people, and Facebook and all kinds of things trigger people. But depression, I wish that everyone I knew that had depression would turn to the course.
I agree. Because
I feel like I have a lot of people in my life that have that, and I feel like that is addressed wholly and completely. And I feel so moved that, you know, that in itself, getting the course out there to help people with depression would be huge.
It's like the antidote, the prescription to fix what ails you is right there. It's been right there in front of you your entire life. But unless you're willing and open to see it, then it'll continue to just be in front of you. And
Because most people I know who have depression issues have a very strong ego.
Mm-hmm.
And that ego is so strong that
that's a really good point.
It's not open to this.
Right.
But I just keep pounding on the door. And like I said, I think that someday those seeds that have been planted will bloom in them, and that they will, some spark will come in.
Well, I'm heading home to my family in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm actually looking forward to taking time to spend with my father, who, you know, I love deeply. There's been ego issues with me, not necessarily him, that I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to work with and through with him.
You're just going to love him, huh?
I'm just going to love him. And, you know, I just want him to understand how grateful I am and everything he's done for me that was unacknowledged up until this point.
That's great.
And I want to make sure that it's acknowledged to him.
That he gets it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he does. I mean, just it's one of those things. Exactly. You know? Just thank you. Right. It's weird when you're a youngster and you can't see stuff. And when you get older, you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I was a better daughter. I wish, you know, I was more aware of everything that he and my mom had done for me. So, all right, it was a little late in the Janine lifetime for me to come to that realization, but I'm so grateful that I did. And I think the course coming into my life really helped me kind of make this faster of a realization. And what I wouldn't have wanted is coming to the realization when it may have been too late for my father in this lifetime, or this dream lifetime. This is not a lifetime. It's a dream. But, you know, I thank you, Holy Spirit, Jesus.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle, exactly. A miracle is just a change in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
I look forward to hearing next week all about your conversations with your father.
Thank you. I look forward to. Thank you very much, listeners. This was a pleasure. Please tune in next week for the
Happy Holidays
podcast. It will be 12. I agree, Stephanie. Happy holidays to everyone, and happy holidays to you.
And to you.
Merry Christmas. See you soon. Bye.